Manager from the data center networking. With me, I have my colleague Abhishek, his PM lead. He's going to cover the later part of the session. Before I talk about this session, we have a series of four sessions from our team talking about what we are doing in the next release. Rajiv, my colleague, kicked off the keynote yesterday, followed by the networking function virtualization session by Abhishek. This particular session is primarily about SDN and fundamentals work that we are doing. At 5 o'clock, we are going to talk about what we have done in the CPS networking and the CPS networking performance and reliability aspects. So that is the overall series of things that we are doing. In this session, I'm going to particularly cover what Microsoft is doing to move our customers to modern data centers. In that context, there are two things that I'm going to talk to. First, what are the current customer challenges, and what are the various technology disruptions happening both in the software and hardware stack. And then I'll go over what are the specific investments we are making in software-defined networking, NFV, which is networking functional virtualization, and fundamentals that talks about the perf work we are doing and reliability work we are doing and scale aspects of it. And then Abhishek is going to deep dive into SDN infrastructure and cloud scale fundamentals. So let's step back and talk about what are the challenges that customers are facing with the traditional data center. The applications are tied. The applications are tied tightly to the physical infrastructure. As a result, we lose flexibility of the network. Secondly, our controller and management plane are in one single layer. As a result, admins have to make some decisions without having visibility into what's happening inside the network. Third, in a environment with multi-vendor infrastructure, there is no standard API set for us to build an integrated management solution. Last but not least, our services are deployed as physical appliances. As a result, we'll not be able to scale and manage the life cycle of particular service. Now there are, you know, we see that there are three categories of technology trends that are happening. First, as you most of you know, as per the SDN standards, we are disaggregating the software stack. We have three layers of SDN stack, starting with management plane, control plane, and the data plane. From the hardware perspective, we want to be able to move the networking services from hardware and the physical move into the virtualized environment so that they can scale and easily manageable. We also see a lot of momentum in the merchant silicon area where there are a lot of NIC vendors improving a lot of stuff to support the NIC offloads as well as move from 10 to 40 G to 100 G. What customers require today is flexibility and having a greater reliability and high performance. In addition to that, we want to bring the application to current existing infrastructure without having to make any changes. So our SDN offering, with our SDN offering, we want to be able to deliver that flexible and reliable and high performance stack. In addition to that, we want to provide a control plane, controller, as we call, so that we can both manage virtual and physical networks together in the same control. And then we want to be able to provide the virtual functions in the SDN stack so that we can run appliances in the virtual environment. We'll talk about it in the next slide. And then we want to be able to provide the extensions so that customers can bring their applications seamlessly into the existing infrastructure without making any changes. This also will enable our cloud consistency with Azure, for instance. So there are three key areas of investments we are doing. The first one is SDN infrastructure. We are going to deliver a network controller that can manage both physical and virtual networks. We also want to interop at every layer so that we can interop with VXLAN, OVSDB, so on and so forth. Finally, we want to provide API set that integrates with SCVMM, Azure Pack, as well as if you want to build your own management solution using these APIs, we actually provide that flexibility. In the NFV area, we want to enable or we want to modify our infrastructure so that you can bring your own appliance into this infrastructure. This could be a firewall, this could be any of your antivirus service. And then we also want to bring our own virtual services that are deployed and tested very well in Azure. As an example, we will deliver, we are planning to deliver a service called SLB, Software Load Balancer. Abhishek talked about SLB and how that works in the server vNext. Finally, we want to treat Linux as a first-class citizen so that the appliances can run on Linux with the same performance as a Windows guest. In terms of the fundamentals, we want to deliver a converged NIC where both tenant and storage traffic can go through one NIC as opposed to having two NICs, and that will result into multiple switches. There is also an advanced packet processing technologies that we want to deliver. This is to improve the performance and throughput of networking. Finally, we want to work with our vendors so that we can offload packet processing to some of the high-end NICs, and we want to increase the throughput more than 10 gig. With that, I'm going to hand over to Abhishek to talk about more in detail and into SDN.
Thank you, Sudhir. Good afternoon, folks. My name is Abhishek Tiwari. I would be taking over some of the details on the software SDN stack we are investing in Server vNext. Before I go into the details of it, some of you or many of you might have received the server build that has some aspects of this network controller SDN stack, but this is a process we are still developing it. So whatever I'm going to talk about, it's about the Server vNext release, might not be available for the immediate build. You guys have it in your environment today. With that, let's go for the Microsoft SDN infrastructure. This shows the overall architecture of Microsoft SDN infrastructure. You have a management plane. Our management plane has a system center, Microsoft Azure Pack, any network-aware applications. Then on the control plane, we have our own network controller. This is then the server vNext. We are releasing a new server role called network controller. This network controller going to manage both physical and virtual networks deployed in the data center. It also would provide us an integrated life cycle management experience for key virtual network functions or network services. This network controller would also provide deep insight to data center admin to make a right decision and provision the data center correctly. On the data plane side, we have a performant data plane. We are investing, as Sudhir mentioned, in several areas, including faster I/O processing, packet processing. We have a distributed forwarding switches being as part of our Hyper-V network virtualization. So I'll cover each item in detail over next few slides. So management plane component. Our management plane component, we have SCVMM that has a controller plugin that interacts with the network controller. SCVMM in Server vNext provide the fabric operations. It's a fabric manager for us. And as well as for the legacy deployment, it can coexist with the Server vNext controller-related environment. So you can have a controller deployed through the VMM. At the same time, VMM should be able to manage the existing legacy virtual networks. On the right side, we have Microsoft Azure Pack. This is the same tenant portal experience which Azure provides. We would be bringing it to our private cloud customers. And then on the server provider portal side, the SP admin gonna provision the network services and infrastructure. This Azure pack interacts with the network controller, providing the management experience. We are thinking about making this Microsoft Azure pack extensible for the third party, where some of the custom experience required to deploy some specific service or infrastructure can be plugged in into the Microsoft Azure pack. It also provides the network service configuration for the SP admin point of view. That's an entry point for the data center deployment. It's highly scalable, highly available, runs over virtual machines. And this is something on a plane where we are taking away. Earlier, the SCVM used to have a management and control plane, both operations. In this, with this server vNext release, we're gonna just use SCVMM for the fabric operations manager. Control plane components. This is basically our controller. It's a highly scalable model. It's deployed using a multi-active deployment. It's no longer a clustering where one instance is active, other is a standby. So controller is deployed with the multi-instance, highly available, where service dynamically chooses itself to provide a specific functionality. If I go from the top, on the top, something we have called northbound interface. That's where the management plane, network-aware applications, including Link, for example, management plane side, VMM and Azure Pack, or third-party management console could integrate. These are the northbound interfaces, a standardized REST-based APIs and PowerShell available to us that basically does the provisioning of the virtual and the physical networks. Then our network controller also has the service managers. So the various network services which we provide, plus the ability to the service composition with the tenants, service inserting the network appliance of their own choice, whatever the best of the breed network appliance they want to use, that can be managed through service managers. All these service managers are part of our network controller. And as the network controller itself provides the high availability and scalability, these service modules or service managers would be running in a highly scalable, continuous available environment. Some of the examples of these service managers are our network services, which is all the key network virtual functions. Our virtual edge and then virtual network manager, basically to manage the virtual networks. On the southbound side, we have, as we said, our aim is to provide an interoperable interface. So we are going to provide multiple protocols to interop with the different hardware devices or network appliances you might have in your data center. Some of the examples of the southbound interface or the protocol we have support for the OMI, we have support for the OVSDB, we are supporting the WCF, which is Azure southbound interface. It's used in Azure. It's proven in Azure. We have SNMP for the specific functions. And on the service manager interface point of view, this acts to the various data plane components, which are virtual edge, physical network, network services, and Hyper-V host. Data plane component. In server vNext, we have two primary components. One on the compute node side is we call it SDN vSwitch. This is a new vSwitch extensions we are providing it. This provides a layered approach for SDN where you can have multiple policies running in different layers. So this provides, as you see in the figure, it has the HNV, which is our Hyper-V network virtualization, responsible for providing overlay network. It runs in a HNV distributed router, so the same layer can act as a distributed router for the overlay network. We have our regular L2 logical switch running under this part of SDN vSwitch. We have a distributed firewall that's an agent running inside the vSwitch that's responsible to enforcing the right tenant policies, business policies to protecting their virtual networks. since it's running on each compute node, it's a distributed, not a central location it's running. Then we have a fast I/O path, which is I'm going to talk about in detail. We have a load balancing agent also running on the SDN vSwitch side of it, providing if on my session I have covered how our load balancer works, where it can be optimized on the response path, bypassing the software load balancer to give the scale it's needed, and that's the agent is running on the SDN vSwitch side. We are supporting both NVGRE and VXLAN NCAP over here. We want to be NCAP agnostic. Our HNV policies and controller should be able to deploy virtual networks irrespective of whatever the popular NCAP method is. So with this, it's a customer choice or decision to deploy VXLAN or NVGRE. We would be supporting both. And as I said, it has a distributed routing into it, so in the entire virtual tenant network, we can have each SDN switch acting as a distributed router. On the complete virtual edge side of it, we have a site-to-site gateway as a virtual network function. The site-to-site is a standard IKEV2 tunnel-based gateway. We have a forwarding gateway that bridges the virtual network to the physical network in a typical data center deployment where you are bringing an overlay network and you still might have a legacy network either deployed using VLANs or a physical network. You can connect these two different worlds using our HNV forwarding gateway. That forwarding gateway provides the functionality of both layer 3 and layer 2. So you can connect using layer 3 and layer 2 both out there. Our virtual edge is also going to support us. We are introducing a software load balancer as part of server vNext, and that would be running our virtual edge functionality. It's apart from the load balancing, it's going to be support the net functionality as well, network address translation. Software load balancer will provide support for load balancing both traffic coming from the internet or within the data center. It's the overall functionality of doing the software load balancer would be a flexible one where you could use any five tuple to define your policy to do the load balancing. Then we are introducing the GRE gateway. GRE gateway on the virtual side would allow connect two disjoint world. For example, if you have a data center network where tenant is terminating their other network using MPLS or ATM or any other proprietary or standard protocols, we could have this GRE gateway connect that particular endpoint to our virtual network gateway without requiring changes in the physical infrastructure in between. So it's a scale-out, highly available virtual edge. Every role is highly available, running in a mode where if the one network or the one gateway crashes, other could take over. BGP is a routing control plane, like we are using it to make sure all the routing functionalities and highly availability of the network gateways maintained. It runs as a central location. Now I'm going to go a little deep dive on the SDN vSwitch and distributed HNV routing. This is like, you know, basic comparison, as Sudhir touch-based. On the legacy environment, these applications are tightly coupled with the physical infrastructure. So basically, if you have a tenant isolation maintained using VLANs, these VLANs configuration are spread all across your physical infrastructure. That makes it a little hard to have a seamless migration or availability of these VMs, whenever you want to scale out, modify. Given that it's tied with the physical infrastructure, it's very, very complex to make any changes. It's a higher capex and then lower utilization of the networks because we are not using network as a one fungible big pool of resources. On the other side of it, that's the future or the our modern data center deployment look like. We have an overlay network where on the physical underneath underlay, you can put these overlay virtual networks without requiring any changes on the physical network side. It supports these virtual networks runs over the L3 infrastructure, physical L3 infrastructure, but this virtual network itself could be a complete L2 network. So if the tenant wants to bring in their layer 2 network over the overlay, that's perfectly allowed while the underneath physical underlay is layer 3. We support both IPv4 and IPv6 functionality, both in the underlay and the overlay networks. Our HNV, as I mentioned before, acts as a distributed router, and we support both NVGRE and VXLAN task offloads to provide the performance. So these task offloads, on the cloud scale point of view, the NCAP, DCAP is provided by the NIC, and then our SDN stack leverages that functionality. And multi-tenancy is supported using the overlay. This is most of these aspects we have provided in the 2012 R2 itself, except that the HNV is integrated with our SDN vSwitch. So these are the distinct enhancements we have done on the HNV, Hyper-V network virtualization side. We have made these policies of HNV programmable by controller. Earlier, when you define your tenant network, VMM was responsible for pushing these policies to each host. And at times when there is some dynamic situation happens, these policies go out of sync. Now network controller is the central place which has deep insight into your network, is responsible for provisioning all these policies, including your gateway policies, including your compute policies, the host agents, various distributed layers inside your SDN switch. Controller will do that for you. These policies are provisioned from controller to the Hyper-V host over OVSDB. This is a protocol many of our vendors supported, and then we utilize the OVSDB protocol. As part of our OVSDB and VXLAN support, our controller can also manage third-party VXLAN hardware-based gateway using the VTAP schema. It's a standard schema, so our controller would be able to manage that if you wish to deploy VXLAN. And we would be supporting deploying of NVGRE-based hardware gateway as well. So it's supported. We are also putting effort on doing the dynamic learning. For example, if a customer plans to bring their own DHCP server, in this case, the IP addresses are not provisioned by the fabric. And then to provision the right HNV policies, initial deployment will not have the complete knowledge of the IP addresses. But we provide the dynamic learning, so as in when packet flow happens, our HNV instance gonna learn these IP addresses and MAC related, will inform our controller, and then controller will correlate all this data coming from the different compute hosts and then push the policies in a distributed manner. So that allows, it's a bootstrapping if the customer wish to bring their own DHCP server. We also support software load balancer and firewall service chaining as part of HNV. So if you want to load balance internet traffic, which is not coming as an HNV NCAP, this layer would ensure that, like, you know, not only we do the software load balancing, but we do the right NCAP method. And based on your deployment, whether it's NVGRE or VXLAN, it's a seamless NCAP being done by the HNV layer. Our data plane, the entire data plane, is aligned with Azure. It's tested with a very high scale. It's several hundreds of thousands of servers. So that's the data plane. It's already validated, running in Azure, and it's the same data plane alignment we are bringing. In Azure, it's called a virtual, the VFP, virtual flow processing. And that allows in a way where SDN vSwitch policy extension can be updated without requiring the host to be rebooted or upgraded. As we said, network controller, one of the challenge in the legacy or the existing data center is, like, you know, not having the right insight on what's happening in the your virtual and physical network. So our network controller will also support a way to monitor these virtual and physical networks. And it's integrated with our controller solution where it has a management integration to the system center. So it's all the data which is collecting, it uploads it to the system center operations manager. And underneath, it uses the southbound standard multi-protocols to get the relevant data or heuristics to get the right state of the network. So as a typical SDN infrastructure, we have a management plane and control plane. Control plane is running the network monitoring module service into it. And we have another module, which is a discovery and topology. This discovery and topology discovers your network and understand the topology of your virtual networks. We'll go through some of the steps, how does it helps in the monitoring of the networks, both in the physical and then virtual side. So physical network monitoring, we detect the health of the each link and then the devices. So it's on the run, we are making sure the active detection of loss is being handled. And then we have the packet processing and then statistics available as part of the physical layer. So this way, if any of the physical NIC fails or any situation happens where we see there is some issue, that data is forwarded to the controller. Okay. Since there is a topology module which knows based on the which physical interfaces, what tenant VMs we are running, so it can, based on the problem faced on the physical infrastructure, it can identify the overall impact on the virtual networks. It could figure it out, this particular host is having issues, and since in the topology module it knows this particular virtual network's having these workloads running on this host, hence this portion of the virtual network is impacted. So it's a combination of discovery and topology and networking monitor module working together provides a right set of impact analysis on the virtual network side. We can localize these faults. As part of the statistics and then the accounting, we keep on collecting the total packets, bytes sent, and then received. That provides a way for overall data utilization on these virtual networks. And all this data is passed to our system center operations manager to provide an integrated view of your network. So in a same control plane, basically it does, as we discussed, the provisioning of the virtual networks, managing the physical network aspect of it, and then providing the monitoring, some deep level details of the physical and virtual networks. As we said, the southbound protocol here is the SNMP for the physical devices. Most of the physical device supports SNMP to get the real estate, so we get some heuristics done through the SNMP. Then we have our own WCF implementation to get data from the virtual networks or our Hyper-V host. So I want to walk through a scenario over here, how in the typical network controller deployment, a tenant would get its own virtual network. In this case, we have already assumed there is an underlay network, which is a physical network. Then Fabric Manager, or through some out-of-band steps, you would deploy your controller. So in this case, controller is running and there is a data plane underneath it. So as a first step, tenant provides the virtual network information. It says, this is the subnet I want to bring in, these are the characteristics of my subnet, I want to load balance these subnets or these particular workloads, I want to manage my firewall or access policies around it, I want to insert this particular antivirus appliance between these two workloads. So all the business policies, all the network policies which tenant is aware of, without needing to know the detail of the data center network, it just defines its own policy, which it understands. Once tenant does it through the Azure Tenant Portal, these policies are passed through the controller as a JSON object. It's like, you know, through the REST APIs, a JSON object is formatted, and it's passed through the controller. So this is the same REST-based standardized APIs. Network controller in this case uses an orchestration layer, because it's the information which is passed as one JSON object would be relevant to the different services or the service modules running in a controller. For example, if I have, say, I want to define this virtual network and these are the workloads which needs to go load balance, the network controller passes the same information and then gives the relevant information to the software load balancer module to make sure the right MUX policy is being provisioned, the host agent on the software load balancer side is provisioned. At the same time, it provides the virtual network information to the VNet module, which is a network manager to manage virtual networks. So with this orchestration layer, it basically passes the relevant information to the right network services, which is software load balancer, firewall, service chaining. It configures the virtual edge if there is a desire to connect your site-to-site gateway, basically on-premise network, to your virtual network, then it provides the right information to your virtual edge. And then the right-hand side, the virtual network manager, is the one who responsible for deploying HNV policies and creating the overlay network. So with one step, and then JSON object coming to the controller, it's like, you know, passes this orchestration logic and then give to the relevant service modules. These service modules then, using their own southbound protocol, and each of the service module can choose its own southbound protocol. So for example, virtual edge manager choose, right now we use the OVSDB to configure the HNV policies. The virtual network manager side. Whereas the virtual edge manager could use our own WMI, OMI implementation as a southbound protocol. Our network services could be combination of SNMP, WCF, and OMI. So with this way, it like, you know, provisions the right network services, the Hyper-V host, which is running the SDNV switch, and virtual edge. So this is a typical flow for like from the tenant portal and how the different things happens on the controller. With this, I want to show a brief demo video, where we have deployed our software load balancer. Let me go through this slide. In this case, we have deployed two VMs, which is a Cloud Shop client, running in a load balance manner, and our load balancer is running in a network controller service. So software load balancer manager is running under the network controller. We have deployed our software load balancer MUX that's doing the load balancing for it. So this is our physical topology. Intent is to see this network controller functions managing the MUX, and then MUX is our software load balancer, and then software load balancer in action doing the traffic spattering. So this is the topology. It's a two-tier app. One is a presentation tier, and then for the simplicity of the demo, the second one is a data layer. And we would see the traffic hitting from the client A and client B.
In this demo, the Cloud Shop tenant has virtualized her e-commerce web application to take advantage of the benefits of virtual networking. She has deployed a two-tier app with an IIS web front-end server and a SQL database back-end server. Clients using this application connect to a virtual IP address, or VIP, advertised by an embedded BGP router and exposed through the software load balancer. The software load balancer distributes the workloads across four DIPs, which host the IIS web servers. Each DIP is then able to make a connection to the back-end SQL database. We will begin by showing the VMs running on the four physical hosts. MUX host 16 contains the network controller VM, two software load balancer multiplexers configured in a high availability configuration, and the BGP gateway, which advertises the VIP addresses. DIP host 24 contains two tenants VMs, one for Cloud Shop, hosting IIS web server front end, and one for a second tenant. DIP host 25 contains two tenants VMs, two for Cloud Shop, an IIS web server front end and a SQL database server back end, and another two for a second tenant. We will show the SQL Server VM, which stores the user's data input into the web application. DIP host 26 contains two tenants VMs again, two for Cloud Shop, two IIS web server front ends, and two for a second tenant. We will now demonstrate this simple application. The web application allows the user to select products from a list and adds them to a cart. We can then click on checkout after we're done adding items and see the contents of the cart. To demonstrate the use of the load balancer, we will look now at the performance counters for the two SLB multiplexers. As you can see, Cloud Shop tenants VIP 10.0.0.3 has connections being counted up on one MUX. This is the end of this demo.
On the cloud scale fundamentals, as we say, there is a disruptive market trend about providing the higher throughput, higher packet, very, very high packet processing to allow to reach the new scale in the data center deployment. So one of the investment we are making here is a packet direct, we call. This is a new I/O processing we are supporting in server vNext. At present, we have our NDIS as a default I/O model. This default I/O model is developed treating both Windows client and Windows server as same, which means it was not designed towards to the right scale of data center deployments. So packet direct is the technology which uses a direct memory access to the NIC and then provides a very, very high packet processing. It can coexist with the existing NDIS path. As you see in the figure, we could still have applications that are using traditional NDIS path, could be keep on using that the generic I/O path. On the other hand side, there are key virtual network functions that are integrated with packet direct could be using this the high-performant path. It's basically the packet direct has a three main components. There is a packet direct platform, which we own it. This is a packet direct platform, which is we provide the buffers and then managing, allowing these buffers to get in back and forth between the NIC and the PD client application. The second component is a PD client, which is a part which integrates with your virtual network functions. That's the client who owns the buffer and which can, like, you know, keep on pulling on the send and receive side of buffer. With this, we are able to score to about 12 million packet per seconds compared to like the 1 million packet per seconds we have on the one core. So this is the kind of the high processing we could do with directly copying the memory buffer, utilizing the memory copy available on the physical NIC. The pictures thing we want to show it, we have integrated our packet direct platform to our SDN vSwitch. So any application or tenant workloads that's running on the VM by default would get leverage, can leverage our packet direct. So if you see in this case, side-to-side gateway is running in a VM. That VM goes through the traditional path, reaching it to our vSwitch. Since vSwitch is integrated with the packet direct, it can bypass the entire NDIS stack on the physical host and can directly go to the NAT adapter 1 and 2. So with this, we can get, without requiring any tenant or workload application getting changed, still leverage the packet direct, faster processing of the packets. If the network function, if the virtual network functions want to directly use the packet direct, they can develop their own PD client using the APIs or management interface provided by server vNext, and they can develop their own PD client and then doing the processing in their service level. So rather than relying on the vSwitch to do the packet direct, they can leverage the packet direct in their own processing. So we'll show a quick demo how powerful packet direct is. And in this demo, we would have initial packet processing being done on the regular NDIS path. And then we see at after a certain point, when the throughput or the scale reaches a limit, it NDIS struggles to keep up the scale going, where PD could easily scale up. So if you see on the left-hand side, right now the NIC is running in the regular NDIS mode, and on left-hand side, I will keep on increasing my number of packets being sent. So I start with like initial one, then I'll do two, and I would see the overall packet per second is scaling. With the NDIS path, it scales, it reaches, then I'll like, you know, put more packets over there, it still scales. And then it reaches to the limit. Now it has reached to the limit where no matter how much additional data packet I pump, it is stuck to there. It's not able to scale beyond this level. So this is just because the NDIS is a generic default I/O mark, which treats client and server as same. Now what we do, we will enable the packet direct on one of the NIC. on the server core. It's just using one server core. And then you see the overall scale with just one core without having the CPU utilization, which in the Andes case was almost fully utilized. In this core, it's like, you know, the, with the just one core utilization, we are able to receive about 8 million packets per second over here. So this is the power of PD. If virtual network functions utilize the packet direct in a right manner, just utilizing with one core, they can receive the desired throughput or the scale, which was not possible using the regular Andes IO path. Our next investment on the cloud scale and fundamentals is the Converged Fabric. In Converged Fabric, we are having our RDMA integrated to our SDN vSwitch. In Server 2012 R2, we have RDMA available on the physical NIC. That NIC cannot be bound to our SDN vSwitch. That forces us, if someone wants to utilize storage RDMA for the storage traffic, and at the same time wants to have HNV virtual traffic, it forces to deploy two separate NICs because HNV should be bound to the SDN vSwitch, where RDMA would be running on the physical NIC. In this case, the same physical NIC can have both HNV traffic, which is a VXLAN task offload enable or NVGRE task offload enable, plus RDMA. And on the vSwitch can expose two vNICs, one vNICs for the host where SMB or any storage technology using the RDMA to send the storage traffic on that vNIC, which goes onto the same physical NIC. And at the same time, these multiple VMs are using HNV traffic or tenant traffic to go through. So this allows basically overall TCO, or deployment of cost of data center, pretty low. Also in this case, overall manageability is much more simple. As I said, it's integrated with our SDN vSwitch. We allow the teaming of multiple NICs to be available on this Converged Fabric as well. One of the challenge it comes when you put two different categories of traffic together on a one NIC, it's about quality of service. We do not want one category of traffic to starve the other category. So in Converged Fabric, we are providing a QoS that makes sure the one category, say for example, storage, if there is a sudden burst on the storage traffic, does not starve the tenant traffic. And this is being done utilizing the DCB on the NIC side to prioritizing or tagging the traffic into the right category and ensuring there is a minimum bandwidth reserved for the each category of the traffic. So I'll go through the quick demo of the RDM, where in this we would see there is a TCP, regular TCP traffic being pumped into the NIC, and then CPU is getting utilized reasonably well. Then in what I would do, I'll do a very big file transfer on the same physical NIC, and then see, we without impacting the TCP traffic, which is a high scale already happening, we were able to complete the file transfer using RDMA in no time.
My name is Don Stanwyck. I'm on the Data Center Networking and Platform team, part of the SNAP organization within OSG. Today I'd like to talk to you about RDMA through the Hyper-V switch, also known as Host RDMA. In Windows Server 2012 R2, if you wanted to use RDMA from SMB Direct on a Hyper-V server, you had to have its own dedicated NIC. It wasn't possible to use one NIC for both Hyper-V and RDMA. With the release of vNICs, we are changing that. We now make it possible for SMB Direct to talk through a Hyper-V switch port on the host and use the same NIC that other Hyper-V traffic is using. Today's demonstration will move one VHDX from host 1, known as 130, to host 2, known as 131. While that's going on, TCP traffic will continue to flow between other ports on the same Hyper-V switch. So let's go look. Down here in the bottom left side of the screen, you can see host 131 is receiving and sending TCP traffic with host 130. The CTS traffic tool is being used to generate bidirectional traffic between these two hosts through the Hyper-V switch. Here in host 130, we have the performance monitor tool, PerfMon, running, showing that the TCP traffic is flowing through the Mellanox adapter, that the processor is largely idle, and that currently there are no RDMA activity going on. So let's take this VHDX and move it across to the share from 131. You'll notice that processor idle time remains very high because RDMA traffic takes very little processor. The RDMA traffic has flown across, 7.6 gigabytes of VHDX have flowed, and the entire time the TCP traffic continued to flow, the VHDX was copied, and it all went flawlessly. We hope it will always work that way for our customers. Of course, with any interesting new technology, it takes teamwork.
So this ends our overall investment on the SDN infrastructure side, which is a Microsoft network controller, manages the control plane for the data center deployment. And then we are having the key investment done on the cloud scale and fundamentals, which is Packet Direct, RDMA Converged Fabric. There are a bunch of integrations we are doing to have the right offloads integration with our physical NIC to the virtual environment. Thank you. Questions? Thank you.